Yeah, good afternoon. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Please sign us all cell phones. The time now is 1:35 on Tuesday, April 18th, 2023. I'm joined today by Co-Chair Stedman, Co-Chair Hoffman, Senator Keel, and Senator Merrick. The other two members are away on state business. We want to go ahead and continue on with what we've got with the three bills that were called for this morning. First bill, Senate Bill 74, by Senator Wilson, Physical Therapy Licensure Compact. If Ms. Jasmine Martin would come on up and please present the bill for us. We first heard this bill on April 4th, took public testimony, requested amendments last week, and they've been invited into the CS. The committee substitute has been distributed to the members, and so can have a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Finance Committee adopt committee substitute for Senate Bill 74, Work Order 33LS0138/U, as in Uniloclete, as a working document.
I'll go ahead and object for an explanation of it. Ms. Martin, please.
For the record, this is Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson. This CS makes two changes to the legislation. The first change is it exempts PTs, PTAs, OTs, and OTAs that are currently licensed from the criminal records check. There's no look back, and so only currently right now, these people would have to go in for the criminal background check at renewal. Right now, there's no look back, and so it just, now the bill requires them to get this criminal background check going forward. And so it adds that new language in Section 4 and then deletes Section 8, which was uncodified law. And then it adds a new Section 9 and 10, which just allows the department to immediately begin adopting regulations prior to the effective date of the rest of the legislation, so those regulations are up and ready to go when it takes effect. And those are the changes.
Any questions by the bill's, any questions by members of the committee for the bill's sponsor? Call it at ease. Call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. I'll remove my objection for the CS that's there. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not specific to the CS, something that's not changed. We had a conversation, the first hearing on this bill and the one after it, about the immunity provisions. I'd like to ask a question of the bill's sponsor, the staff, if I may.
Ms. Martin.
Ms. Martin, the immunity provisions we discussed, and there were some answers that I didn't find very clear. Can I just run sort of my understanding by you and understand whether that's the sponsor's intention? The question goes not to the liability of a provider, right? That's all under Alaska law. But this is folks, commissioners, folks who work for the commission. The language is written to work in multiple states, and the concerns I had at the last meeting were about Alaska's strict several liability and whether someone who was working for the commission was negligent and hurt an Alaskan, how they would be held responsible, how that Alaskan would be made whole. And so I just want to make sure it's your understanding that when you read all of these qualified immunity, defense, and indemnification provisions together, it is the commission that gets sued. And even when an Alaska jury apportions some of the fault, maybe most of the fault, to the employee who is immune, the indemnification provisions here mean that the commission or the commission's insurance company, right, pays the whole damages so that Alaskan is not left with some of their damages unpaid. Am I understanding that right?
For the record.
Ms. Martin, if it's okay with you, Senator Keel, I'll have Senator Wilson, who's online, answer the question. Unless you want to, and you can call on you to answer whatever your preference.
For the record, Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson. I'm happy to answer the question. Okay. Or we can move to Senator Wilson, but I'm happy to answer it.
Let me defer to Senator Wilson and give him the option first. Senator Wilson, are you on, sir?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This is Senator Wilson for the record, Senator for District N. And I believe Ms. Martin has that answer from Ledge Legal on this is just very standard language that we currently already have in statute in other places. But I will defer to Ms. Martin to give a little bit more of a detailed explanation.
Ms. Martin, please.
For the record, this is Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson. Senator Keel, through the chair, your understanding is correct, and it matches my understanding of the legislation. What this section is saying is that if an employee is working in their capacity as a employee or member of the commission and they harm an Alaskan, it is the commission that is held responsible and pays any sort of associated costs with that.
Follow up, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the understanding that the Alaskan gets their whole recovery and not part of the recovery, I'm happy with that provision. Thank you.
Any further questions by members of the committee for Ms. Martin or the bill sponsor, Senator Wilson? If not, we'll have a motion, Senator Keel.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 74, version 33, LS0138/U, as in Unalakleet, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay, without objection, this Senate Bill 74 passes from committee at ease. Call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Next bill up is 75, Senate Bill 75. By Senator Wilson, audiologist and speech therapist, interstate compacting. We first heard this bill on April 4th, took public testimony on April 5th. We requested amendments last week. All amendments have been incorporated into the CHS. The committee substitute has been distributed to the members. Do you have a motion, Senator Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Finance Committee adopt committee substitute for Senate Bill 75, Work Order 33, LS0139/S, as in Skagway, as our working document.
And I'll go ahead and object for purposes of discussion and interpretation what it is. Mr. Martin, please go ahead and identify yourself for the record and go ahead and tell them about the changes.
For the record, this is Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson. There again are two changes to Senate Bill 75. The first change adds a new Section 3 and deletes the uncodified law Section 7. It exempts audiologists and speech-language pathologists who are currently licensed from the criminal records check. As the bill is drafted right now, it requires everyone to go through that criminal license check when they are up for renewal. This would exempt them from that. Again, it's not a requirement of the compact, and if people, it's slightly different than 74 in that if they do want to get a compact privilege, they will go through a criminal background check at that time. And then the second change is to, again, add a new Section 8 and 9 that allows DCCD to immediately begin adopting regulations for the implementation of this bill at a later date. And that concludes the changes between the CS.
Any questions by members of the committee about the committee substitute for Ms. Martin? With that, I remove my objection for we have the S version in front of us as a working document. Any additional committee discussion or questions? Any comments, Senator Wilson?
No, Mr. Chair. For the record, this is Senator David Wilson. Just want to thank the committee again for hearing SB 75 and for committee consideration.
Okay, if there's no more discussion and no more questions, Senator Keogh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I should have said this has identical indemnification language as the previous bill, so we don't have to go through that again. Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 75, work order 33, LS0139/S, as in Skagway, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Okay, without objection, Senate Bill 75 passes from committee. Take an ayes. To call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Next bill up we have is a continuation of a bill, Senate Bill 52 on the education by the Education Committee to increase the base student allocation. We heard this on April 13th, took public testimony, ran out of time even though we went a half hour over. For all those that wanted to go ahead and testify, we have Senator Tobin in here. She's the author, or she's the chairman of the committee. I'll ask her to come on up and make a few comments before we resume public testimony. We want to make an announcement with public testimony that if you called in the last time, we're not encouraging you to call in again this time and talk twice. We have enough people that are on the list to go ahead and make sure we get can hear everybody. With that, Senator Tobin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. My name is Lukey Gail Tobin. I represent the Senate District I. I thank you again for offering this additional opportunity to receive public testimony on Senate Bill 52. Just as a refresher, Senate Bill 52 seeks to increase the base student allocation by $1,000 this year, $348 next year, and provides an opportunity for 1 year of inflation proofing in FY26. We've heard from hundreds of Alaskans as why stable and predictable funding in our schools is so critical, and I suspect we'll continue to hear that message today. But if it's all right with the chairman, I will like a little latitude as I forgot to talk about some of the documents that we have uploaded to BASIS. So very quickly, thank you, Mr. Chair. Very quickly, we have a few documents that I just want to give some attention to. The first document really talks about how the best influencer of long-term student achievement is a high-quality early education classroom experience. A high-quality early education classroom experience comes from small class sizes, with those participating in small class sizes being more likely to be enrolled in college, own their own home, have retirement savings, be married, take the SAT or ACT, graduate high school, live in better neighborhoods, and are less likely to be arrested. A full detail is available on BASIS under the March 2011 peer-reviewed study entitled, How Does Your Kindergarten Classroom Affect Your Earnings? Another key factor of long-term student achievement is teacher quality. That is held in the February 2023 report, which we will actually be receiving a presentation on tomorrow in Senate Education, shameless plug. It's called Teachers Like Us, and this found that students who were the same race as their teachers were more likely to graduate high school and attend college. We also know that students who have more experienced educators earn more money in the long term. Growing our own teachers comes from having well-educated public school students today. And when we retain our teachers, we know that they're going to do incredible work in the long term. Finally, on BASIS, you will find the Moore Settlement. The Moore Settlement talks about how the state has met its obligations to adopt appropriate standards and assessments. Right now, every public school child receives over 2 weeks of assessments. And this helps educators provide individualized education. And this really can't happen if we have increasing class sizes and our educators not sticking around. So I hope everyone will take an opportunity to look to those documents on BASIS. We will also be having a hearing in Senate Education Monday talking about school fund balances, as I've heard there's some conjecture around those particular issues. With that, I look forward to hearing more public testimony, and I thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Tobin, thank you very much for coming on up and giving that additional information. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the things that might help the Finance Committee immensely is for you to, the Education Committee, to take a look at the fund balances in all the districts and try to give us some advice on what you find within those documents. Is that a possibility?
Thank you much. Through the chair, Senator Stedman, we will be having a hearing on fund balances on Monday in Senate Education, and we'll produce a single-page document with recommendations to this committee, if that is the will of the committee.
Follow-up, Senator Stedman?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming up, and thank you for such a nice response on that fund balance issue that's been on the back of our minds. At this time, I'd like to go into public testimony. First up, the person that called in from last time is Bert Hoftaling. Mr. Hoftaling, are you on, sir?
Hello, my name is Bert Hoftaling. I'm calling from Big Lake, Alaska, and I represent myself, my children, and about 5,000 Alaskans that listen to what I have to say. I find that, once again, the majority who profit from this dominate the testimony the last time and every time before this. To me and today, I find it disturbing that nobody there is willing to address Alaska being the worst in the nation at nearly double the cost of anywhere else in the nation. We have addressed have not addressed the declining student base, their failure to fill unfilled teacher positions, and all I've heard is a demand for more money. We no longer have a public education system. It is instead a government string-attached indoctrination of our children. Time to completely defund education, remove all federal funding, and rebuild our education in Alaska from the foundation up. What works? Reading, writing, arithmetic, STEM should be the number one priorities being taught in our schools, but it is not. Instead, you keep repeating the same failed agenda that rages the buzzes that they get with no accountability, that has, in Alaska, a 50-year track record of failure. Parents' rights have been removed from the process, and this is something that never should have been allowed to happen. Until significant reform is done, not one red cent should be added. As a matter of record, due to the declining student populations, they should not be seeing budget increases, but instead budget cuts. There is one question that I have never heard anyone answer from those pushing the increases. Where is that money to come from? How is all of this to be paid for? We hear daily that you at Alaska Ledge is broke. The only solution for paying for this seems to be hurting the most detrimental part of our population, the poor and middle class, by stealing what is statutory obligated to all of us, our PFDs. Tell me if I'm wrong. I believe I'm correct. Most in Alaska know this to be true. if we are to believe what Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, is currently trying to do in D.C.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Hoftelling. Next, we have Brandy Hardy. Ms. Hardy.
Hi, my name is Brandy Hardy, and I'm testifying to strongly encourage you to pass SB 52. I'm a current school board member here in Fairbanks, but prior to being elected, I was a special education teacher in our public schools. In Fairbanks, since 2012, our kindergarten PTR, or pupil-to-teacher ratio, has increased by a total of 5 students, currently at 25. Our high school PTR has increased by a total of 6.5 students, currently at 30. Those PTRs will likely increase to even new heights next year without an increase to the BSA. It's important to remember that PTR is not a hard class size cap, but an average across the size of the district. This means that there are some classes far above that PTR. When I graduated from Fairbanks Public Schools in 2002, I enjoyed learning in high school classrooms with a PTR of 22. Today's students are learning in classrooms with nearly 30% more students than I did 20 years ago. If standardized test scores are going down, that might have something to do with it. Beyond the largest PTR on record, this year our district reached another new milestone. We now have more students qualifying for SPED services under IDEA than we have ever had in the history of the law. While overall enrollment has decreased, our percentage of students qualifying for IEPs has steadily increased. Currently, over 20% of our students are receiving SPED services. In 2017, our SPED budget was $34.9 million. In 2023, it's projected to be $33.4 million. We have more students requiring SPED services than ever before and a lower available budget to provide those services than 6 years ago. The picture becomes even more grim when you add in inflation and the increasingly challenging task of hiring certified special education teachers and related service providers. SPED funding, excluding that of our most intensive need students, is block funded in the BSA. This means that years of inadequate BSA funding has led to years of inadequately funded SPED services. Let me be clear, Alaska schools are not failing. We are starving. Our schools have not been adequately funded for nearly a decade. Our educators are doing the best they can with the resources they have been given, but without increased stable funding provided through the BSA, we will be unable to recruit or retain high-quality educators, and our schools will continue to waste away. My children and the children of all other Alaskans deserve the same high-quality education I received here as a child. You have a constitutional duty to provide an adequate public education for our Alaskan children. Alaskan schools cannot meet that mandate without adequate funding from the state. And to add, Fairbanks has a zero fund balance.
Ms. Hardy, thank you very much for your long service in teaching. Next, we have Megan Redman. Ms. Redman, please.
Hi, thank you for allowing me to testify today in support of SB 52, a BSA increase, and for it to pass this legislative session. For the record, my name is Megan Redman. I'm the principal of Homer Middle School in Homer, Alaska. I'm also a parent of 4 young children. I've been a teacher, assistant principal, and principal both on and off the road system in Alaska for the last 13 years. Our schools are facing rapidly rising costs in energy, transportation, healthcare, food service, and so much more. As those costs that are mostly out of our control rise through the roof and our funding remains flat, our districts are forced to find cuts that directly impact the classroom through cuts in staffing. As a principal, when I have to cut staffing, I'm forced with an impossible decision of what opportunities to cut for my students or how big to make classes. I'm forced to make decisions that I know are not best practices for student learning when my original plan for next school year was to be moving in the completely opposite direction. I can speak from experience that the things everyone calls extra are most often the things that get kids motivated to come to school so that they can also get their core instruction. We need stable, long-term, and predictable funding for our schools to be able to focus on long-term school improvement and to retain and recruit excellent educators to our schools. Being a teacher is hard. Being a teacher in Alaska is hard. We have amazing, dedicated teachers in our state, but when our jobs are constantly on the chopping block due to possible budget cuts that year after year are staved off temporarily by one-time funding outside the BSA, eventually our amazing teachers will have had enough. And I can tell you from personal experience in hiring teachers in Alaska for the last 13 years that we will not be able to replace them. We constantly ask our schools and our teachers to do more and more with less and less every year. Passing this bill and ensuring stable long-term funding for our schools will make an immediate improvement in the education of Alaska's children. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Redmond. Next we have up is Melissa Johnson. Ms. Johnson, are you on, ma'am? Melissa Johnson? If not, we'll go to Scott Ballard. Mr. Ballard, are you on, sir?
Hello.
Mr. Ballard?
Hello, my name is Scott Ballard, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Finance Committee. Thank you for this opportunity to speak in support of Senate Bill 52. I'm the superintendent of the Upiat School District, just outside of Bethel, up the Kuskokwim River, 450 students. We desperately want to improve the education system for our students based in Yupik values, Yupik language, and our cost for fuel last year went up 40 to 50%, and we just got our bid for this coming year. And instead of going down, the price has increased again. So I appreciate all the hard work you've been doing. And, you know, with our board visited back in February, March, and I know how many hours of testimony you've heard. So we cannot attract teachers right now. We have to go to the Philippines because we have no applicants. We are not competitive with Seattle, with Houston, with Dallas and Fort Worth and other metropolitan areas in the United States. So we desperately need an increase in the BSA. I really thank you for all your hard work. That concludes my testimony.
Mr. Ballard, thank you very much for coming in this afternoon. Next we have is Jenna Fabian. Ms. Fabian, please.
Jenna Fabian. Hi, good afternoon. I am Jenna Fabian, principal of Nikiski North Star Elementary on the Kenai Peninsula and board secretary for the Alaska Association of Elementary School Principals. I'm calling in support of Senate Bill 52 and would like to begin by thanking the chair and members of the committee. Within KPBSD, we have seen the impact of insufficient funding as our schools have been asked to continue to do more with less, despite the large gap that exists in all classrooms, due in large part to the significant disruption to education over the last several years. This disruption has revealed a heightened learning gap, and specialized academic supports are needed more than ever before. In this way, the bandwidth or instructional effectiveness of our certified teaching professionals has been greatly reduced. What it looks like at the site level is a sparse turnout for site level committees and less staff that are able to facilitate after-school programming because so much time and attention is focused on narrowing gaps throughout the day and additional planning time is needed to address student needs. As a building principal, I have spent a lot of sleepless nights worrying about burnout and our educators leaving the profession. I'm even more worried about whether or not we will have qualified candidates for those vacancies. Stable, predictable funding is key to improving student outcomes by stabilizing schools and reducing turnover. Please consider increasing, as well as inflation-proofing, the BSA to ensure Alaska schools can continue to serve students with the quality education they deserve. If we want to build and retain our workforce in Alaska and improve our economy, the change starts with supporting our Alaska schools, and the time is now to do that. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for coming in this afternoon, Ms. Fabian. We're calling at ease. Senate Finance meeting back to order. Ms. Fabian, are you on, ma'am? Ms. Fabian. Okay, the next one, we're going to go into the room here. Mr. Bill Hill, come on up and say yourself for the record. Go ahead with your testimony. After that, we're going to go to Rebecca Harmon Hammond. We have 2 minutes.
Good evening, or good afternoon, Chair Olson. Thanks for listening to my testimony on this unusually sunny day in Juneau. For the record, my name is Bill Hill, a lifelong Alaskan, Alaskan educator, and currently superintendent of the Bristol Bay Borough School District. I'm here to urge you to pass SB 52. I think it's a great way for us to make up for lost ground in education. For years, Alaska education has operated under what I see as an austerity budget. Every year, our school board and administration has developed what's called a balanced budget, as we are required to do. In reality, although the budget is balanced on paper, we have been running a deficit that impacts our students through reduced staffing and programs, a deficit that's a barrier to fulfilling our mission adequately, a deficit that results in the lack of stable staffing, and a deficit that results in inability to do long-term planning, and finally, a deficit that impacts our students every day. In the 10 years I've spent at Bristol Bay, we have combined elementary classrooms, we have reduced secondary staffing, we've cut district office staffing by 50%, we increased the efficiency of our operations and maintenance, we have used grant funding for programs like pre-K, and we've developed partnerships to provide services that we can't do alone. Despite receiving the maximum allowable funding from our borough, our fund balance for FY24 is projected at less than 2%, which is lower than the 3% my board always wants to keep as a minimum. For the year following, without a significant increase to the BSA, we will once again begin cutting programs and staffing. I urge you to pass SB 52 and provide Alaska students with adequate and reliable funding. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hill. We have a question from Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Superintendent, on maybe a little preview of the fund balance conversation. I had the wrong impression the other day at this table. It's a little more than a third of districts actually have a pretty sizable fund balance, and I understand that's not you. Can you tell us, is that free general fund? Is that strings attached money? What's going on there?
Senator, Mr. Hill.
Through the chair, Senator Keel. So I think if you're talking about the fund balance, if you're talking about the general fund, that's the 2%. There are different fund funds which have strings attached. For instance, transportation, which has to be used on transportation purposes. We do have other governmental funds which have strings attached. For instance, if we receive funding that's related to a federal program, they have to be used in a very specific manner. In terms of our ability to impact staff pay programs, we need a significant fund balance in our general fund. That's what allows us to operate. And for us, a 2% means that if an unexpected emergency comes up, we are not in a good place. We're not being really fiscally responsible, in my view.
Honorable Senator Keel. Thank you. Senator Stedman.
Yeah, I was going to ask the other two callers, but since you're at the end of the table, there's the COVID federal relief funds remaining, at least I think on your last report, might have been $126,000. And could you help us with that, what the plan is for that, and if it's encumbered or the significance of that?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, yes, most of that is encumbered. At the end of the year, I believe we have about $23,000 left of that, and that should be expended in a contract that we've developed to support reading services in our school, and that will be completely expended with that contract prior to December of next year.
Bob, Senator Stedman.
Can that be redirected then to supplant a shortfall in the BSA funding?
Mr. Hill.
From my understanding, COVID-related funding was to make up for learning loss and direct COVID-related expenditures.
But that's not the question, Mr. Hill. The question is, can those funds be used to make up shortfalls within the school's budget?
Through the chair. At $23,000, that offset is not very large.
Sure. Okay, follow-up, Senator Stedman?
No.
Next we have, thank you very much, Mr. Hill. Next we have Rebecca Hammond. Ms. Hammond, please.
Thank you. thank you for hearing me today. I'm Rebecca Hammond. I am a 25-year resident of King Salmon in the Bristol Bay Borough. And I've served my community as a school board member since 2015 when my kids were in middle school and high school, and they did graduate from our school. Since the earliest days of my service, the importance of being conservative financially has been really important to our board, and we've held that line. It's always been a core value. And we've been creative, and during my time on the board, we've had to make some really tough decisions to maintain stability for our staff. We've always wanted our staff to feel like their jobs were not in question the next year. And so many times we've had to decide among ourselves to cut things that were even very important to us, just in order to maintain stability for our students and staff. And we've built really strong relationships and with our strategic partners in our community and in our local economy to try to make up for the difference. And but still, we have been experiencing a pattern of steady losses since I've been on the board. All of our very best efforts have not protected us from the effect of flat funding or the lack of financial stability over time. And today, inflation, which I know is affecting everyone, is hitting us particularly hard, and it's bringing us to a really critical turning point. As you might know, for example, our electricity is run by a giant diesel generator, so fuel cost hits us in a surcharge, and sometimes we have electric bills that are just kind of out of this world. After this next year, like Bill was just telling you, we're looking at the lowest fund balance I've ever seen while I've been on this board. And I just can't see any amount of squeezing or creativity that we could go to make it work. And especially if we had some sort of catastrophic event, like we've had in the past with our building. We've cut PE program, the library, we've cut most admin staff, sports, all the extras. There's no extras left. And our children, who are the future of our local and statewide economies, I feel like they're worth the investment, and this investment, and more. So thank you so much for hearing me on SB 52.
Thank you very much for coming in, Ms. Hannon. Next we have up is Carol Traim. Ms. Traim, if you'd come on up and identify yourself for the record. We want to make an announcement before we go much farther. The cutoff time for being able to testify this afternoon is 2:15. If you call in after 2:15, the likelihood of being able to testify is not there because there's so many people wanting to go ahead and testify. Is Traim?
Traim.
Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon, and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you for allowing testimony today. My name is Carol Traim. I am a resident of Juneau and here today to speak in favor of the increase to the BSA. I'm a member of the City and Borough of Juneau Assembly, and following in the footsteps of the esteemed Senator Keel, I chair our Assembly Finance Committee. So, like many other local governments across the state right now, we're in the middle of our annual budget process. This year, more than any year, the conversation is dominated by school funding. So in Juneau, our community is willing and, more importantly, is able to fund to the cap. And it's becoming increasingly necessary to do so every year just to maintain a level of quality to allow our school board and our school district to keep up. By flat funding education, the legislature has chosen every year to decrease the spending power of every school district in the state. And the fact of the matter is that ignoring the need for education funding doesn't make it go away. It simply shifts the problem to local governments. So in Juneau, almost half of our property tax revenue, so half of our mill rate, goes to funding school district operations every year. And that does not include capital expenditures, which is another duty that the legislature and executive branch have abdicated in recent years. So the people left with the bill at the end of the day are also your constituents. When you don't adequately fund education, you shift the burden to your constituents and the communities in your district. And it means that we get the angry emails instead of you. So I'm here to ask that you please increase the BSA and automatically tie future increases to the rate of inflation so that we don't find ourselves in this situation again. I also would like to ask that this committee and the legislature as a whole focus similar attention on the pupil transportation funding, part of the education funding formula. It's another piece that has been flat funded, and those costs have skyrocketed and are shifting to local governments. So thank you for the time.
Ms. Traim, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next, we have Amy Brower. Ms. Brower, please come on up and identify yourself for the record. Get 2 minutes.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Chair, Co-Chair Olson, and members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Amy Brower. I am the superintendent of Dillingham City School District. I am speaking in support of SB 52. For the fiscal year of 24, Dillingham City School District is facing a $400,000 deficit to just maintain our current programming. We are facing a large turnover of teachers in our district again this year, and many are reporting that they cannot afford to stay in Dillingham with our current salary schedule and the cost of housing, food, heating, and health care going up. But right now, Dillingham City School District cannot afford to move pay. We hear much the same in our recruiting efforts. Since 2021, the cost for individual and family health insurance has risen 47% in our district. We have seen significant increases in the cost of heating, electricity, transportation, and even garbage removal. Dillingham City School District has been created in ways to stretch our dollars, but there is no more stretch. Stable, predictable funding is needed for all districts to be able to attract and retain high-quality educators. The loss of purchasing power from the flat funding of the BSA prior to the $30 increase slated for FY24 is staggering and is having negative impacts on education for our students. Reliable, inflation-proof funding inside the BSA is vital to stabilizing schools and providing an excellent education for our students every day. With the increase in funds, Dillingham City School District will be able to continue to improve our core programming. This will help ensure a qualified, trained, high-functioning workforce for Alaska in the future. Please consider increasing as well as inflation-proofing the BSA to ensure Alaska schools can continue to serve students with the high-quality education they not only need but deserve. Thank you.
Ms. Brower, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next, we have Paul Kelly. Mr. Kelly, sir, come on up, identify yourself for the record, and go ahead with your testimony.
Through the chair, members of the Senate Finance Committee, my name is Paul Kelly. While I'm a state employee, I'm here on my own time, and my testimony is my own. I don't expect that what I have to say today is much different than what you've already heard and what you're about to hear from others, so I'll keep this short. I'm here as someone who attended public elementary, middle, and high school in Anchorage. I can point to many teachers who were instrumental in forming me as an adult, teachers who empowered me, teachers who spoke my curiosity, teachers who gave me the time and attention I needed to grow into the man I am today. Now I'm a step-parent. I have two children attending school in the Juneau School District, and they deserve to have the same opportunity I had as a child. We need to raise the base student allocation so that they get the same time and attention that I did, and so that Alaskan school districts can attract the same caliber of teachers as I had growing up. Thank you for hearing SB 52. Please pass this bill out of committee and vote for it when it comes before you again in the Senate floor. Thank you.
Mr. Kelly, thank you very much for coming out, and thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Bridget Weiss. Ms. Weiss, please.
Good afternoon, Senator Olson, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Dr. Bridget Weiss, superintendent in Juneau. I am thrilled to be here to testify in support of Senate Bill 52 and much appreciate the Senate Education Committee for putting this together and in such a thoughtful way. A couple of the key pieces to this bill are the forward funding, planning ahead 2 years, and considering that inflation is part of our reality. We need a relevant BSA increase. It does not make sense to have a funding formula built on a base student allocation if we are not going to use it. So if we need to change that around education funding, then the state needs to take time to do that, and in the meantime, use it as the tool that it was meant to be. One-time funding does nothing but kick the issue down the road, kicks the can down the road, and our school boards get put in a position every year of budgeting on unknowns and a lack of adequate resources for our students. In Juneau, we just reached a tentative agreement with our Juneau Education Association, our teacher union. It took us over a year to reach that tentative agreement. It is impossible to attract and retain high-quality teachers for our children in Alaska if we are not forward-funded and adequately funded. Every year, my school board creates a budget on unknowns. This year, because of the financial dire straits, they decide, and the optimism that they heard here on the Hill, my school board decided to budget on a $430 increase to the BSA, knowing that $30 was built in, and they had to make some sort of a gamble to put together some semblance of order in a budget that we could move forward to and know we were prepared for next year. Even with that projected BSA, we reduced many things in our budget, $250,000 of classified support at our elementary schools as an example. If that $400 were not to come through, we would go back to the budget table and cut $3.5 million out of our current budget for next year. I'm a third generation Junoite. When I became a teacher in 1984, if I started teaching in Juneau, I would have made $27,000. In my first year of teaching, I decided to stay in Spokane, Washington. I made $14,600. I could have doubled my salary by coming home to Juneau and made my mother quite happy. Today, a first-year teacher in Juneau makes $6,000 less than a first-year teacher in that same school district. We have lost all of our purchasing power, and we need those high-quality educators. I appreciate your support for Senate Bill 52.
Ms. White, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. We have a question for Senator Stedman. Ms. Weiss, would you please stay?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I see your COVID fund balance on federal relief funds remaining is $3.3 million on your last report. So how much of that is encumbered and how much of that can be used to redirect to supplement a BSA increase?
So thank you for the question through the chair. Senator Sedman, we actually will have expended all but $1.6 million by the end of this school year. And the $1.6 million left for the coming school year, FY24, is encumbered and spent, planned, budgeted for reading specialists, learning programs, et cetera. So we'll expend that out by the end of next school year. You also asked about fund balance. So in our June 30, 2022 audit, to make sure I'm in like three different budget years right now. So June 30, 2022, our undesignated fund balance for the Juneau School District was minus $63,000. Undesignated fund balance minus, we don't like to see red in the June 30 audit. We had a Medicaid payment delayed because of some things going on at the state that came in July instead of June. That's how close our budgets are. My board has a policy requiring a 1.5% fund balance, undesignated fund balance, and they voted to shrink that down in order to have enough resources in our classrooms for our students. But we are that tight that we actually were in the red in June.
Follow-up, Senator Stedman?
Yes, just looking at this chart here that dated June 30th, 22, operating fund unreserved ending balance, Juneau negative almost 1.8 million.
Correct.
Can you help me with that number?
So there's a lot of different funds, and some are designated, some are not. We have deficits. We are blessed with our assembly person, Carol Treem, that just testified. We work closely with our city, and they are very, very supportive of our school district. We have two programs that we run for our community. One is a child care after school and before school child care program that is non-K-12 instructional. And we also have a community schools program that we run where our community is allowed to use our facilities before school, after school, weekends, summer, et cetera. So when COVID hit, we kept employees employed, and we used them in different ways. So they put together food banks, they built packets for students who were not in the building yet, et cetera. But those programs weren't generating the revenue that they normally do. We stood up childcare for first responders as an example, but that was much smaller revenue than it was when we do our normal operations for childcare. So those gave us some deficits. In the third area, as testified just a minute ago, our pupil transportation. Hard hit during COVID. There was no grace. We did have no hold harmless statute for pupil transportation. So when our enrollment dropped, so did our transportation funding. And yet our students still live across the town. So they don't all go away in certain pockets, so you don't stop running certain routes. And so that's another fund that has generated some deficit that contributed to that number that you quoted.
bottom center statement?
You have it in a separate column, and it's 800,000 according to this document here. So, but thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Weiss, thank you very much for coming up this afternoon. Next, we have Shannon Johnson. Ms. Johnson, please.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, members of the Senate Committee Finance. I'm here to support SB 52. My name is Shannon Johnson. I'm a Lakin Peninsula School Board member, also a parent of four daughters. I'm proud to say that I've been on the board for 9 years as a volunteer. I have one daughter that's a community health aide, another that's going to college to become a nurse, and another that's a fly fishing guide and a mother. I have a third grader in our school district, so I see myself doing this for a long time, I hope. The increase to the BSA will bring us very close to creating parity with the loss of buying power since 2017 due to inflation. We would be saving programs such as preschools, lunch program, sports, and staffing. Cutting these programs would be horrible for our rural schools. We are already closing schools due to low enrollments. I represent all the schools from Perryville to Port Ellsworth. And in my tenure, I've already closed two schools. The school is the heart and soul of our villages. I am the voice for our students, and we do need to provide, as the law states, a high quality education to our most precious resource, our children. Our students are happy, and they know they are safe in their schools. They are graduating, they are loving their CTE programs, they are excelling in academics and athletics, and they want to live in our communities. Thank you very much, and I also want to thank Senator Tobin, too. Thank you for everything that you do, and you know what? The bottom line is educating. Education is hurting. Thank you.
Ms. John, can you tell me which the name of the schools that closed? Was one of those Ivanhoe Bay?
Yes, sir. That was many years ago, before my time. We've closed Chicknick Bay and Pilot Point.
Okay. Pilot Point.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Any further questions, Ms. Johnson, my members of the committee? If not, we have Laura Norton Cruz. Ms. Cruz, are you on, ma'am?
Thank you for having me. My name is Laura Norton Cruz. I'm here as a co-lead of Growing Alaskan Leaders, which is a group, a grassroots activist group of over 600 parents and caregivers across Alaska, all of whom want to fund public education, and as a parent of a kindergartner and a third grader in the Anchorage School District. My children are enrolled in the Spanish-English Dual Immersion Program at Government Hill Elementary in Anchorage. This is important for them for many reasons. One is to be able to speak with their abuelos and travel to their father's home country of Colombia. The other is to be part of the bilingual workforce that a growing, vibrant economy needs. We need bilingual workers if we want to compete in the global economy. And Anchorage schools are producing those by having multiple bilingual programs. These dual immersion programs attract families, they allow businesses to attract employees, and they are on the chopping block if the BSA doesn't get increased. I'm here in Juneau because I was presenting a film about the childcare crisis in Kotzebue. I have the honor of working a lot in that region in the Northwest Arctic. And what I see is that the school is the center of the community. It is, as Sharon said, the heart and soul of the community. Not only does education happen there, but healthy community activities, early childhood screenings and supports. And rural schools cost a lot to operate because gasoline is $9 a gallon and milk is $12.50 a gallon in Kotzebue right now. And a round-trip ticket from Kotzebue to the village is over $500. So it costs money to operate those schools, and those schools are essential, and they're our constitutional duty to operate. And because the BSA hasn't raised while those costs have gone up, the cuts are hurting people. The cuts are making schools less effective as in offering education. When I taught third grade early in my career, the reason I was able to attend to the differing needs of my students who had serious trauma backgrounds a lot of the time were experiencing very difficult things, where some of them were coming to me at grade level, some were coming to me unable to read or write, unable to add or subtract. right? And my ability to meet them where they were at and offer differentiated education to get them up to grade level, and my ability to help them with behavior issues that were a result of trauma, was because I had a small class. I had small class size because of the way that funding worked in that school district in California where I was teaching, and because of the dual immersion program. If we don't have school small class sizes, as Senator Tobin explained, that reduces the efficacy of education, and it also makes it really hard to support children who've experienced trauma, which is the majority of children in Alaska. We need to be able to meet them where they're at and get them the supports they need. So, and we need children to be doing well in school so that we have a prepared workforce and have a vibrant economy, which is something I know we all agree on. So please pass SB 52.
Laura, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Thank you very much for the lunch and learn that you put on today. Next, we have Melissa Johnson from Ketchikan. Ms. Johnson, are you on, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Please go ahead with your testimony.
For the record, my name is Melissa Johnson, and I'm the Deputy Superintendent representing the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District. I'm testifying today in support of Senate Bill 52. I am a born and raised a resident of the state of Alaska. I'm a product of the Alaska school system as I went through the Ketchikan School District and graduated from the Ketchikan High School. I'm concerned about the future of the generation of young teachers and professionals who are not able to live in the state of Alaska due to the lack of funding through the current BSA. Districts are forced to complete a budget now based upon the current BSA formula. The budget forces districts to include teacher cuts, and many of these teachers are in fact non-tenured young teachers. Many districts are forced to cut positions, which directly affect the population of the 24 to 30-year-old age professionals. This group of young teachers and professionals are forced to leave the state of Alaska to gain employment in other states, and many bring with them young children. If you do not correct the BSA issue within our school district, we will have a missing generation of lifelong Alaskans. I would also like to express that during the COVID pandemic, the Ketchikan School District, from the direction of our local school board, had in-person learning during the entire fiscal year of 2020-2021. We used much of the COVID funds during this year to have smaller class sizes, annexes, and PPE equipment to ensure safety for our staff and students. Like many other districts in the state of Alaska, we no longer have COVID funds to offset costs. There is a misconception that many districts have leftover COVID funds to offset inflation and flat funding in the BSA, and this is not the case. Please consider the increasing as well as inflation-proofing the BSA to ensure that our amazing teachers and professionals can stay in the great state of Alaska. Thank you for your time.
Ms. Johnson, thank you very much for your questions, for your testimony this afternoon. We have one question for Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was curious. We just heard from the superintendent at Juneau, and I think she used a 430 number for a BSA change. What's the number that makes Ketchikan function?
Ms. Johnson, please.
Well, through the chair, we would suggest that we are doing our budget based upon a $200 BSA increase as of now, but anything above that, we would gain programming back.
Okay, and just
follow up, Senator Stedman.
Yes, because last year we had 57.8 million outside the formula. So is that in addition to last year's numbers, or you're using your base number of 5960? What's your base to increment the 200 off of?
Ms. Johnson,
we're using the base. We're using, through the chair, we're using the base number of 5930.
5960,
okay. Just follow up, Senator Stedman.
Nope. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon, Mr. Johnson. Next, we have Zach Stinson. Mr. Stinson.
I apologize to the chair. I signed up as a sign-in not to testify today.
Okay. I'm sorry we got you as testifying, so that's okay. We'll go on to the next one. Casey Luke. Ms. Luke, please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Co-Chair Olson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Casey Luke. I serve as the superintendent of the Lake and Peninsula School District. I'm here in strong support of Senate Bill 52. Stable, predictable funding through an increase within the state student allocation is necessary to ensure districts can cover inflationary increases in operating costs that are outside of our control. In the Lake and Peninsula School District, the average heating fuel cost is 59% higher in 2023 than it was in 2016. Despite the efficiencies Lake and Peninsula School District has implemented through accessing recovery heat systems, electric boilers to access excess hydroelectric power generated to displace fuel costs, and working in partnership with local power utilities to reduce fossil fuel consumption. The cost of transportation to our rural schools continues to increase. Round-trip airfare Anchorage to Perryville, which is our most southern community in our school district, costs $1,397. Today, it costs our families and teachers $1,488 round-trip to get from Anchorage to Perryville. Freight rate per pound was $1.50 in 2016, and in 2023, it is $2.25 a pound. So if you buy a pound of cheese at Costco, add an automatic $2.25 to that to get it to your community. The Lake and Peninsula School District is experiencing a 32% turnover in staff this year, certified staff. It is the highest turnover we've experienced in my 12 years serving in the district, and that's in various roles. I've only been in my superintendent role for 2 years now. We are reducing full-time staff by 5 in the upcoming school year and are still experiencing a budget shortfall. We cannot rely on COVID monies. They will expire, and they are only allowed to be spent for specific uses. In order to budget for inflation costs and attract and maintain educators, districts need stability and predictability within the base student allocation. With an increase to the BSA, our district will use the additional funds to support operating costs in order to keep our schools warm and our students fed, which are key foundational components of the learning environment we provide. We will continue striving to provide professional development and implementation of the Alaska Reads Act, supporting educators to increase reading scores through fidelity of implementation and focus on academic achievements. Please consider increasing inflation and inflation-proofing the BSA to ensure Alaska schools can continue to serve students with the quality education they absolutely deserve. Thank you.
Senator Stedman has a question, Ms.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You touched on it, the COVID relief monies. I'm showing here Lincoln Penn has $1,000,001 and COVID relief remaining as of 415 of this year. So how much of that is encumbered? And then can any of it be redirected to the BSA? And then the other follow-up question I'd have is, what is your BSA number increase that you would like to see? Define the base, because we got two base numbers moving around here at the table.
Sure, through the chair.
Do you remember two of the questions?
Okay. I will try my best, sir. Through the chair, our ESER monies, our COVID monies, you mentioned is about $1,000,000. We do anticipate spending our ESER 2 monies, which expires at the end of June 2023. That has already been appointed. We will spend through that. The additional monies, we intend to spend through all of those ESER monies. And it hasn't been in, we haven't spent those in support of, or looking to spend those in support of, components around maintaining teachers, so through negotiations and pieces like that to improve the base amount that we offer educators and attracting and maintaining educators, that would come through the BSA. So we do intend to spend through all of those monies before the end of 2024.
The final part of the question was, how much did the school board budget for an anticipated BSA this coming year?
We have anticipated, just to include the $30 increase that's already anticipated in that, we have put that budget in front of our board. This past year, we had a $600,000 deficit. And this coming year, we will continue to have that deficit. We do anticipate averaging at zero with a $500 increase in the BSA, but we have not put that forth because it is not predictable at this point. So,
Follow-up, Senator Stedman?
No, that's what I was looking for, is a range that makes the school function. And what I'm hearing is a $500 increase of the BSA off that base number of 5960.
Is that correct, Mr.?
Which wouldn't be counting last year's outside the money.
Correct.
Okay. That was 500. Okay.
Thank you very much for coming up this afternoon.
Thank you.
Next, we have Pete Hoffner. Mr. Hoffner, are you on, sir?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Coming loud and clear. You got 2 minutes.
Excellent. My name is Peter Hefner. I'm an 18-year school board member here in Cordova. I'm the immediate past president of the Alaska Association of School Boards, and I sit on the National School Board Association Board of Directors. my two daughters have gone through the public K-12 system. One is a critical care nurse at the University of Utah. My other daughter is achieving her master's thesis and does research on the North Slope. I thank you for taking testimony today for the second time and listening to the pleas from Alaskans to increase education funding and listening to how classrooms are exceeding a learning size and how school districts cannot find teachers to fill vacancies due to salary and the retirement system and how the interesting aspect of teachers from the Philippines are now applying. Is this what the legislature of Alaska wants to do? I've been a publicly elected school board member for 18 years, and I have never seen such a deficit that we are facing this coming year, and that is 2 months from now. We have cut and cut and cut over the last 15 years, even cutting our pre-K program the last 2 years. We are facing a $926,000 deficit. We will are we going to reduce our staff by 8 or 9 of our 28 teachers? Do we cut the food program? Do we eliminate all of our sports programs? I worry so much about this and seeing how this funding is being held up. Public education has been strangled, and the hands on the throat of our Alaskans' children and their education needs to be released. Public education needs to be funded. Thank you for taking time and listening to all of Alaskans speak about their needs for public education.
Mr. Hefner, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next, we have Marcus Geisler. Mr. Geisler, are you on, sir?
Yes, I am. Thank you for your time and consideration. For the record, my name is Marcus Geisler. I am a physical education, social studies teacher, and athletic director at the Joanne A. Alexie Memorial School in Atmaluk, Alaska. We are part of the Lower Kuskokwim School District. My students and I have put together a letter that they wanted me to read. Dear Senators, I've learned that our BSA has not increased since 2017. Therefore, our schools are now in a critical situation. Our underfunding has led to poor educational experiences for our students, including larger class sizes, downsizing of curriculum and the experiences within the curriculum, and inadequate school buildings. With inflation at double digits for the last 2 years, the cost of fuel, food, and other supplies for our schools has skyrocketed, while our funding remains the same. This means that LKSD is running into deficit spending to keep our sites and up and running, including our Joanne A. Alexie Memorial School. We find ourselves in a position where we have to decide on whether traveling for basketball is it within our budget or other sports or other activity. Not only are extracurricular activities affected, but classroom supplies, field trips, and other experiences have had to be cut as well. If teachers are cut from the budget, class sizes will increase, and the quality of education will be affected in a detrimental manner. It is important that our teachers and staff stay in our schools to help our students have the best educational experience possible. I thank you for your time and consideration. I ask that you vote to increase the BSA by $1,000 in 2024 fiscal year and another $348 in 2025 fiscal year. Please continue efforts to support quality education in Alaska. Koyana.
Mr. Geisler, we have one question for you. That's Senator Stedman.
Yes, I'd like to get some input on this COVID relief balance showing here that Lower Kuskokwim has $22 million, but they have zero in their operating fund reserve as of last June. So can you help us with how much of the COVID relief is encumbered and what you plan on doing with that? And can it be used for a BSA supplement?
Mr. Geisler, I understand you're out there on one of the tundra villages. Are you familiar with what he's talking about?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am familiar with that. And what I've heard from our site administrator is that the COVID funds are no longer available, that they have been used up. And so because of the high cost of fuel, high cost of food, other things in the last couple of years here, so that's what I've heard, and you would have to contact our superintendent for more information on that.
And your superintendent's name is?
Kimberly Hinkins.
Kimberly Hinkins. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bob Sutter-Simmons?
No. No, it's...
Sarah Hoffman?
No, thanks.
Next up is Crystal Howard. Ms. Howard, are you on, ma'am?
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. For the record, my name is Crystal Howard. I'm on Denina Land in Wasilla. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm here to testify in strong support of SB 52. Education is empowerment. Increased spending is proven to lead to a number of positive outcomes. Test scores improve. Graduation rates rise. Students are more likely to pursue and complete college. Underfunded schools deal with larger classroom sizes, fewer advanced classes, lack of resources, less experienced teachers, and in some cases, no teachers at all, resulting in the closing of local schools. Schools belong to the entire community, and it should be a priority to fund them to the best of our ability so that we may advance our educational and economic development together in the best, most equitable way. I encourage you to support our children and our communities with the passing of HB 52. Thank you.
Ms. Howard, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next, we have Beth Short Rhodes. Ms. Rhodes, Short Rhodes, please go ahead with your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, thank you. My name is Beth Short Rhodes, and I'm calling from Sitka on behalf of myself in support of SB 52. Thanks again for this opportunity, and also to everyone who is working to move this bill forward. We all know that it's been 6 years without a BSA increase, and it's past time for that to change. Sitka stands to lose 15 highly qualified teachers next year if the BSAA raise doesn't happen, and we can't afford to lose even a single one. As a parent who sees my daughter at school and her friends at school, I can tell you that our kids need these teachers and that they make all the difference in ensuring that students stay in school, they graduate, and they go on to be successful in life, and they go on to be healthy because of they're not just learning the basics that they need, you know, reading and writing, all those things, but also they're learning how to be healthy, and it's the teachers that are teaching them to do that. Sometimes those are the only people that are teaching some of these kids because they don't have a home life that provides that. I want to leave you with one final thought, and that my daughter is currently in the 10th grade. The last time her school saw a BSA increase, she was in the 4th grade. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon, Ms. Short Rhodes. Next, we have Heather Swanson from Kiakuk. Ms. Swanson, are you on, ma'am?
Yes. Thank you, sir. Hello, Chair Olson and members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you in support of Senate Bill 52. My name is Heather Swanson, and I've been a teacher in Koyuk, Alaska for 24 years. I'm also a mother of 4 children who attend Koyuk School. I'm urging the committee to increase the base student allocation. An increase in funding would allow for higher salaries, needed maintenance for teacher housing, and retention of high-quality student programs, such as travel for sporting competition and for AMSA. In my last 24 years of teaching, I've never seen it as difficult as it is now to recruit and retain high-quality teachers. Our 6-year-old twin daughters have had 3 different kindergarten teachers in this past year, one of whom is a longtime parapro who stepped in to teach for 3 months when no applicants were available. The district was able to fill the position after using an international hiring agency. Over the past 24 years that I've been teaching, our yearly pay raise has been mostly between 1% to 1.5%. But inflation has averaged 2% over that same time frame. Our salaries are not keeping up with inflation, and our monthly pay does not nearly go as far. Costs of goods at our local store have increased significantly. 4 pounds of bacon went from $22 to $45. 1 block of cream cheese is $10.49. And shelf milk is $15.56 per gallon. Can you imagine paying those prices while supporting a young family? My husband and I are very grateful for the school district-funded activities for student travel. The cost for a round-trip ticket from Koyuk to Anchorage rose from $565 before the pandemic to $820 after. As a family, our budget only allows us to take 1 trip outside of Koyuk per year. This limits the number of educational learning experiences our children get to have. If the student base allocation is not increased, these extremely valuable extracurricular activities are in jeopardy of being cut. The Alaska Reads Act is an admirable piece of legislation, and I admire the state for pursuing it. However, it will only be successful if districts are able to recruit and retain high-quality teachers that will be possible with higher salaries if the base student allocation is increased. After 6 years with no increase, it's time to increase the state's investment in education. All of our children are worth it. Thank you for your thoughtful consideration of these requests. It will make a positive impact on our children's future for their lifetime. Thank you.
Yeah, Ms. Swanson, I guess you're from Koyuk, aren't you? You're not from Koyuk.
No, Koyuk. Correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I know who I'm talking to. We have a question from Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Co-Chair Olson. Ms. Swanson, thank you for your testimony today. You said that you're using an international hiring agency to hire some teachers.
I'm not sure if that's correct, but they got someone from the Philippines, and she's very sweet. I didn't want to I don't know what agency they used, but we've had to recruit teachers from the Philippines.
Okay.
So I don't know what hiring agency they used. I apologize if I misspoke.
That's fine. Thank you, Senator Olson. My question has to do with, does hiring a teacher from abroad cost more, less, or equal to a local full-time teacher?
I do not know the answer to that question, but our superintendent is Ms. Susan Medza from Bering Strait School District.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Swanson.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome.
Thank you for coming out this afternoon, Heather. Next, we have Santiago Hababi from Diomede. Mr. Hababi, go ahead with your testimony, please.
Hello. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you today. I am calling on behalf of the Little Diomede School here in Alaska, part of the Bering Strait School District. So I made this call to support the on SB 52, which is a plan to increase the allocation for the base student. So I made this call because I feel and I think that there's a really need to do this, because this is one way of increasing the teacher's retention through salary and, of course, improving our house. And then, secondly, it is only through increasing the BEC that we can have a high-quality teachers to stay here and teach the kids, especially in the rural areas of Alaska. And third, we would like to ensure that the child's needs are met, especially in the villages. And of course, we would like our students to participate and join sports, especially our kids here are mostly in the village and really need to have some exposure and to travel outside the village here of Diomede. So thank you so much for listening, and hope I have made my voice on behalf of the school and the village, and of course for the Bering Strait School District. Thank you and good afternoon.
Santiago, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next, we have Sebastian Santos from Cebuco. Mr. Santos, go ahead, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak with you all today. For the record, my name is Sebastian Santos, and I am a middle school social studies teacher working in Tavunga, Alaska, under the Bering Strait School District to educate a specific demographic of students who identify as a group called Siberian Yupik. Today, I'm here to ask all of you for your consideration towards increasing the funding towards our school through SB 52. At this time, we are facing an increase in our expenses towards extracurricular activities and athletic programs, especially if these programs involve events outside of our village, requiring budgets and funding for our airfare or travel expenses. If we look into the long-term effects of insufficient funding, it is inevitable to predict with certainty that our students are going to be left empty-handed. Calling Tavunga and other villages in the Bering Strait region isolated is an understatement. Commercialism is non-existent. Poverty is a lifestyle here. Drug and alcohol abuse is also a constant problem that we face in our community. With an increase in funding, it is my hope that we can push for and maintain our respective extracurricular activities and athletic programs to keep our students safe, well-equipped, engaged, and motivated to strive for excellency in and out of our school. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Santos, for coming out this afternoon. Next, we have Tom Claymeyer. Mr. Claymeyer, you're on, sir.
And members of Senate.
Good afternoon, Chair Olson and members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Tom Claymire, President of NEA Alaska. I had a prepared statement that was frankly quite similar to what you would probably expect me to say in support of Senate Bill 52 and what others had said, but I'd like to pivot a little bit based on some of the conversation I've heard and speak to some of the ESSER funding. It's my understanding that those funds were intended to support learning loss and other operational expenses that support learning. It was strongly encouraged not to use those funds for ongoing expenses exactly because they had a limited lifespan. And that, like those things that would be funded by a permanent BSA increase. It's also my understanding that they cannot be used to supplement BSA because there's a maintenance of effort requirement that essentially makes it a violation of federal law to use ESSER funds to supplant state funding. Just the tenor of the conversation, I feel like it's a little bit unfair to put districts in the impossible position of having to provide a balanced budget statutorily while at the same time giving them zero stability and predictability of funding, essentially focusing a plan for a worst-case scenario when they're doing their budget, and then kind of using that as a justification, it sounds like, for lowballing the increase in the BSA. I'm really concerned about that. There's a distinct difference between funding that merely keeps the doors of a school open and that which provides the systems and resources that support student wellness, safety, and success. In addition, I'd like to talk about a little bit the bargaining that's going on in the state and the many contracts that members that are working without contracts because they've expired. They're in arbitration or mediation, meaning that all efforts essentially have failed to get a contract because the districts, even in wanting to provide contracts that attract and retain the best educators, have their back up against this budgetary wall. And so I'm really concerned about what could happen in the fall should we not have a permanent solution like that proposed in Senate Bill 52. So I encourage you to be the heroes of our students in Alaska and pass this bill, please.
Mr. Claymire, we have a question. Senator Stedman.
Thank you. Just a clarification on that total federal relief, COVID federal relief, we were told by the department that it can't be used for transportation, automobiles and stuff, but it can be used. So that's a little different definition, I think. That's what the department informed us. But with that being said, I'd like to know from the NEA, if you look at the school districts that are struggling the most, the half a dozen that are struggling on the low end, what type of BSA number do they need coming off of the base number of 5960 to make their schools work and function? And then the schools that are very liquid and aren't having much financial difficulty, what BSA increase do they need?
Mr. Claymire.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Stedman, for the questions. One, there was very few guardrails, you're correct, in how the money was spent, but it was encouraged not to spend it on things that were permanent expenditures because the money would go away. So how they use the money to support learning was up to the individual districts, but it was intended to be a supplement on top of existing state funding. So to simply, funding was provided by the ESSER funds and for states to abdicate their responsibility by cutting funding as a result equivalent to that, then it's not extra money to support student learning. And so I know that's not what's going on here. We're not cutting the funding, but to talk about cutting to increase it less because of the federal funds that were provided on a temporary basis, I don't think is a good way to go at the solution either. As I said, speaking to you asked for a number, I guess it's up to the legislature to that's part of the sausage making. The State Association of School Boards started out the session with a recommendation of not going below 860 per student. I think that the approach in Senate Bill 52 to exceed that quite substantially is a step in the right direction. I still don't even think that gets us to where we need to be. We're not talking about the minimum just to keep schools open to function, as you've said earlier. But how can we go to, instead of cutting resources and programs, adding the additional resources and programs, adding the additional positions, the educators, the counselors, the librarians, the nurses that are needed in schools every day to help kids do better? We can't have these austerity measures that reduce all those resources, which cause outcomes to decline, and then blame the system for those outcomes. We have to fund schools to provide the resources that are needed for student success. We have to invest in our students, in our future generation, in our schools, and in our communities.
Well, Senator Stedman?
No, I was just hoping that we'd get a range of what the most struggling school districts need, and the school districts that aren't struggling so much, what their need is. It's just asking us for an open-ended checkbook doesn't help us get to a BSA number this year. So.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We probably could get this information from DEED, but you might be able to provide it to the committee. What is the pupil-teacher ratio by school district and the average salary by school district? And if you don't have that, we can get that from DEED.
But I could certainly offer assistance in trying to gather that information for sure.
Thank you.
If you do come across that information, please send it to the Senate Finance Committee, and I'll distribute it amongst the committee members. It's 3 o'clock. We're scheduled. Our testimony time is scheduled to 3 o'clock. If we have nothing else going on, I don't have another meeting until 3:30. We'll go on until 3:30. Senator Bishop.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. And if we're going to ask for a request from DEED on Senator Hoffman's 2 points, I'd like to know, along with that, how many teachers are from overseas here in Alaska teaching as well?
I can only talk about the Bering Strait School District, of which I am a part of. A fair amount of number are coming with these 3A visas or whatever they call themselves. With that, next up we have Alex Russin. Mr. Russin from Cordova's school district superintendent. Mr. Russin, are you on, sir?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Co-Chair Stedman, Hoffman, and Olson, and members of the Senate Finance Committee. I'm speaking in support of Senate Bill 52. My name is Alex Russin, and I represent the Cordova City School District, not only as its superintendent, but also as curriculum director, special education director, human resource director, and federal programs director. I'm the Title IX compliance officer. I help design professional development for staff, and I assist with food service and maintenance, not to mention substituting in classrooms and answering phones in the school offices when needed. I share this not to bring attention to myself, but rather to share the multitude of roles administrators play in small schools and districts. Along with many of my colleagues, particularly those in small districts who oftentimes wear the same hats, we are educators, we are instructional leaders, we are individuals who roll up our sleeves daily to impact student outcomes. We are accountable to our school boards and communities and providing leadership to those we serve. We are accountable to the federal government through well over 200 assurances we commit to upon receiving federal funds. And we are accountable to the state through compliance in producing yearly audits, submitting average daily membership and foundation summary reports, ensuring qualifications of teaching staff, just to name a few. Passage of SB 52 will provide the Cordova City School District with the majority of the funding necessary to meet its potential $925,000 budgetary shortfall for FY24 should no increase to the base student allocation occur due to increased costs, many of which are outside the district's locus of control. To contextualize this potential shortfall, $925,000 equates to approximately 33% of the certificated teaching staff the district employs, or 17% of the certificated staff and 100% of the instructional support staff working with our students, or the entirety of the district's food service, student transportation, and student activities programs. With the utmost respect, to extend this concept a little further within the context of the legislature, imagine having to determine which 33% of the legislators would need to be cut due to budget shortfalls.
Or imagine how reducing the more than 200 legislative support staff between the House and Senate by 33% or even 17% would impact the legislature's ability.
Mr. Rossin, you have gone over your time limit. You want to go ahead and follow, or go ahead and wrap it up, and then we'll go on to the next person?
Yes, sir. Yes, please strongly considering increasing and inflation-proofing the BSA. $1,250 increase to the current amount would get Cordova just about in good stead. We would have to dip into our fund balance a little bit to.
Thank you very much, Mr. Russell. Next that we have up is Louise Downhauser. Miss Downhauser, please.
My name is Louise Downhauser. My affiliation is myself. I'm from Anchorage. I'm the parent of former Anchorage School District students who attended like Diamond West, Romig, Gladys Woods, and like elementary schools. And I want to say it's imperative that the base student allocation is increased on this date, April 18, 2023. Alaska has remained in a regressive state regarding public education. I support Senate Bill 52 to increase the SBA. The student-to-teacher ratio must be changed whereby one teacher has no more than, say, 15 or 10 students. Alaska public education test scores must be raised to first meet the national average, then increase to be above the national average. And the University of Alaska must be included in any Alaska public education funding also. And I am here asking that you increase the BSA and pass Senate Bill 52. And thank you for your time.
Ms. Downhauser, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next, we have Clayton Holland. Mr. Holland, are you on, sir? Next, we have up is Scott McManus. Mr. McManus, are you on, sir, from Tok?
This is Clayton Holland. Am I there still?
Mr. Holland, go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much. All right, I'm not sure what happened there. Thank you, Chairman Olson, for having me back on. Yeah, my name is Clayton Holland. I work as the superintendent for the Kenai-Pinson Borough School District. The purpose of my testimony is to support SB 52 as it is currently written. This bill will provide us predictability in the future and create stability in our communities and in our schools. As you are well aware at this time, flat funding inflation has exceeded 22% since 2017. Healthcare costs that are five times the national average, along with soaring fuel and transportation costs, have put Alaska school districts in a poor predicament. The Kenai-Pinson Borough School District is facing a deficit of $13 million for FY24. However, with the remaining federal COVID funding and using budget reserves, we are able to bring this down to $4.5 million for FY24. $4.5 million deficit for the Kenai-Pinson Borough School District has meant that our high school and middle school PTR is going up. We are closing our pools and theaters, one of which recently produced an Olympian, and then laying off valuable support staff. It is important to note that without BSA increase, we will be looking at the full $13 million deficit next year, which will result in the loss of the equivalent of 78 educators. And we will be back here again going through the same process. We've worked hard to counter many false narratives coming from special interest groups and others who I believe don't know any better overall, particularly that Alaska leads the nation in education spending. The ICER study clearly points out that when adjusted for the cost of doing business in Alaska, we are under the national average in what is spent on education. We've also worked hard to counter the narrative that 50% of funding goes through admin costs. The KPBSD District Office Administration is 0.88% of the total general fund budget. Listening in today, I believe there might be a few more narratives that we need to work on. I'm proud of the support that a BSA increase has garnered on the Kenai Peninsula. The Kenai-Pinson Borough Assembly and the municipalities Homer, Soldotna, and Seward unanimously approved resolutions supporting a meaningful BSA increase. Numerous individuals have taken time out of the workday to provide testimony in prior hearings. The Kenai is an economic hub in Alaska, and the citizens here are hardworking and mostly conservative, but they recognize that in order to maintain and grow our economy, we must support schools.
Mr. Holland, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. If you want to go ahead and wrap up, you're out of your time.
Oh, excuse me. They want to draw a workforce who will stay, and they want their children to believe they can stay and raise their families here. They know that strong schools and a strong economy go hand in hand. Finally, I'd like to thank the Senate Finance Committee, the Senate Education Committee, and the entire Senate for your work to support education and provide also work towards a stable economy. To lead in hard times required bold action, and I, like many others across the state, greatly appreciate
all of thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next, we have Scott McManus. Mr. McManus, sir, go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Olson, and members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Scott McManus. I'm a lifelong Alaskan and a product of our public school and university system, and I'm currently the superintendent of Alaska Gateway School District. I thank you for the opportunity to support full funding of SB 52, which is very much needed. Right now, we are in the middle of FY24 budgeting. We're preparing a budget based on the $30 BSA increase, which was our first increase since 2017. For my district, that translates into an annual increase of just $50,000 a year. But our audited fixed costs since then have increased by approximately $1.2 million. And this year, we learned that our health insurance was increased by 34.8%, which will cost us $2.1 million a year, which is a 100% increase since 2017. The average teacher in 2017 made $65,000, and this year it's $80,000, which does not even begin to keep up with inflation. Staff turnover in my district has traditionally been low, but this year, like many districts, we're experiencing increased teacher turnover and are recruiting teacher candidates. For example, one elementary position we have in Toca have over 100 applicants, which sounds really great, except only one of them is from the U.S. We currently have two international candidates, our teachers, who are doing an excellent job, and if we are unable to fill our positions this year, we'll try to hire more. There's been recent discussion regarding the school fund balance that Dee prepared on April 17th, and it shows our undesignated reserve of $1.1 million, which is right at the allowable 10%, not subject to limitation. It also shows our capital budget fund at just over $1 million, and that's the money we use for basic maintenance and emergencies and summer maintenance programs, yet we have identified $30 million in deferred maintenance needs to our district. The sheet also shows $1.1 million in remaining COVID relief funds. These funds are not leftover funds. We are using them as intended. They are already allocated and planned for, and they will help us get through next year. We're paying for things like mental health counselors and other educational services and programs that were planned long ago, and we're using those funds the way they were intended and timeline that they're allowed us to do it at. We've used all the money as expected and as allocated. Our funds are planned for. Alaska school districts
Mr.
are absolutely
McManus, thank you very much for coming out this
our elected school boards.
Miss, next we have up is Margot Bellamy. Miss Bellamy, are you on, ma'am?
Yes. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Margot Bellamy. I'm president of the Anchor School Board, as well as president-elect for the Association of Alaska School Boards. Today I'm representing Anchorage, our 44,000 students, their families, and over 5,000 employees. So I thank you for the opportunity. The late John Spencer wrote, "My goal is simple," and I quote, "I want to make something each day. Sometimes I make things, sometimes I make a difference. On a good day, I get to do both." You can make this a good day for education in our state by increasing the BSA. This is your opportunity to make a difference and to make things happen for every student in the state of Alaska. If we fail to increase the BSA this year, we will by default systemically deny our families the programs and opportunities that they value and deserve. This means that Anchorage programs such as our pre-K, the ELL program, our choice program, CTE, middle college, gifted education, our neighborhood school concept will all be in jeopardy of being diminished or eliminated. This also means that our structural deficit will continue to increase. If we fail to increase the BSA this year, ASD will be facing the elimination of many extracurricular opportunities and unprecedented increases in our class sizes. I think we all agree that none of these outcomes are desirable. SB 52 is our collective path forward. We need each of you to be champions for our students. We need you to make a difference and make something happen for our students, staff, and families. We need you to pass SB 52. And I thank you for your time and your commitment and your service.
Ms. Bellamy, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. We have David Schoss. Mr. Schoss, are you on, sir?
Yes. My name is David Schoss, for the record. I am representing myself. I've heard a lot of arguments for the increase for the schools, and I have nothing new to add to why those need to be increased, but I think maybe one consideration for how we would fund it that people seem to have a problem with is we should get ourselves a state bank, because if we had one, we would be able to get the access of a lot of infrastructure money that is out there. We would also be able to have the backing of the Feds, and we would be able to offer low interest loans to other corporations or industries so that they could locate up here and increase our base. So that is something I think people should consider as a good source for our state. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next we have up is Ralph Watkins. Mr. Watkins from Chatham School District. Please go ahead with your message after you identify yourself. Is he on?
No.
If not, Mr. Watkins, if you're not available, then we'll go ahead and go to Eric Hart. Mr. Hart, are you on, sir? Kenai Peninsula School District, Mr. Eric Hart. If not, next we have up is Jennifer Boyle, Moose Pass. Ms. Boyle, are you on, ma'am?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for this opportunity to speak in support of Senate Bill 52. My name is Jennifer Boyle. I am a parent, small business owner, and involved community member in Moose Pass on the Kenai Peninsula. I serve on the boards of the local library, site-based council, Seward Community Foundation, and I'm a commissioner on the Moose Pass Advisory Planning Commission. My daughter is currently in the fourth grade at Moose Pass School and will eventually attend Seward Middle and High School. I've called to express my support for Alaska Senate Bill 52 and to emphasize the critical importance of increasing and inflation-proofing the base student allocation to ensure that our children have access to a high-quality education year after year. The objective of the BSA is to provide funding to our schools to cover the cost of education, but without inflation proofing, its value erodes over time, making it harder for our schools to keep up with rising costs and to provide the resources our children need to succeed. This is especially concerning when we consider the importance of a well-rounded education that includes access to art, music, theater, and sports programs, which are essential for our children's growth and development. In my school district, we have seen a continual cut in programs, staff, as well as extracurricular activities. My daughter is on the Seward Tsunami swim team. And currently, KPBSD is proposing to close all pools on the Kenai Peninsula, including the Seward High School pool, as part of the 2023-2024 budget. It seems completely implausible that this extracurricular activity would be closed after sending an Alaskan to win gold at the Olympics. In conclusion, I urge you to support SB 52 and to increase and inflation proof the base student allocation. Increasing and inflation proofing the BSA is critical for ensuring that our public schools have the resources they need to provide a high quality, well-rounded education to all of our children. It's crucial that we invest in our public education system, not just for the sake of our children, but for the future success of our state as a whole. A strong public education system is essential for attracting and retaining businesses, creating jobs, and building a prosperous and thriving society. It's essential for the growth and future success of our children and our state,
Well, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon from Moose Pass. Next up from Moose Pass is Joseph Boyle. Joseph Boyle, Mr. Boyle, are you on, sir?
Yes, my name is Joseph Boyle. I live in Moose Pass, Alaska. I respect your desire to ask for new commenters, and I am a new commenter today to this bill. And I was motivated to call in today to do my part to make sure that you hear that there are more voices than just those frontline workers, such as teachers, administrators, and others who make sure that our children have the well-rounded educational opportunities that they deserve. I am a parent of a fourth grade student in Moose Pass School. In addition to being parents, my wife and I strive to be active in our community to make sure that it is the best possible place to live that it can be. We are voters who attend public meetings from state and local candidates at every opportunity that we can. We sit on several boards and volunteer organizations in Moose Pass and Seward, and we are business owners. While our business is the first to open in Moose Pass in quite some time, we know that more are on the way. Tourism is a growing sector in our state, and areas like Moose Pass stand to benefit from this growth. We've been contacted by families who are actively seeking to relocate to our area, and they ask about the school and the local economy. Families who want to offer their children school-age job opportunities, and further, when their kids go, families do want to offer their children school-age job opportunities, and further, when their kids go to college or other trade industry learning, their parents and the community members want them to have a reason and a viable option to be able to return to the area. With the closure of local public schools that are able to offer robust, well-rounded educational opportunities, the infrastructure would not be there to support this. For these reasons, we ask you to please vote to support the Alaska State Bill 52 to increase and inflation-proof the base student allocation. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for coming up to testify. Next we have up is from Seward is Leslie Jacoby. Mr. Jacoby, are you on, sir?
Yes, I am. Thank you for your time. My name is Leslie Jacoby. I'm here to testify in support of SB 52 and a substantial increase in the base student allocation in the state of Alaska. This is important for our residents and the future of our community. The one-time funding that the House just passed is not what we need. We need funding the district can count on to make real changes and improvements. We need long-term stability. I am specifically here to advocate for the pool because swimming is near and dear to my heart and the heart of my community. I'm representing Seward Tsunami Swim Club, myself, and my daughter, Lydia Jacoby, Alaska's Olympic swimming champion. I grew up in Alaska, and I have now lived in the maritime community of Seward for 30 years. We need our pools to be open and open year-round. Currently, Seward High School pool is closed for 2 months in the summer, making training difficult for our high-achieving athletes. This closure is detrimental to all of our user groups. Closing swimming pools hurts our kids, seniors, and community members that need it the most. There are many user groups for the facilities, including ABTEC, local hospitals, the Alaska Sea Life Center, and it is used for physical therapy, kayak guide training, and more. A petition supporting these same ideas now has over 5,500 signatures. The petition and the attached signatures and supporting comments will be provided for the record. We also support additional need-based and fairly distributed funding. Please support an increase to the BSA to keep pools open on the Kenai Peninsula. It's a matter of public health, and swimming is an important life skill. It is a sport that can save lives. Alaska drowning rates are amongst the highest in the nation. It is important for the mental health of our youth. The sport provides a safe space and healthy outlet. Swimming boosts academic performance. CDC and NIH studies show that students who start swimming at school age have improved confidence in language skills. Swimming teaches the value of discipline, commitment, and hard work and other life skills like setting goals, teamwork, and time management. These are skills we need in our youth and are essential for our society. Consider that closing pools and cutting swimming could potentially be a violation of Title IX. Swimming is a life skill essential for public safety, public health, and mental health. Thank you.
Leslie, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon, and congratulations to your daughter for her exceptional swimming skills. Next we have Will Muldoon. Mr. Muldoon, are you on, sir?
Yes, sir. Can you guys hear me?
No, you're coming in loud and clear. Go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Olson and members of the committee. My name is Will Muldoon, and I am currently the Secretary and Finance Chair of the Juneau School District Board of Education. I'd like to align myself with the comments made earlier by Dr. Weiss and Assemblymember Treem. I think they were accurate and eloquent, so I won't deep dive there, but I can answer any questions if need be. In addition to serving on my local Board of Education, I am also the Vice President of the Juneau Central Labor Council. I am Secretary of Alaska's Protection and Advocacy Agency, the Disability Law Center, co-chair of the CBJ Parks and Rec Advisory Committee, and also the chair of the Safety Committee for the Wilmaldune Adopt a Highway Project. I would just like to speak briefly about why I'm able to wear all of these hats and possibly why I do wear these hats, and that's because 21 years ago, I was Wilmaldune High School legislative intern for the 22nd Alaska State Legislature under the guidance of a young staffer by the name of Jesse Keel. I've been spending the last 21 years repaying that. It's been a formative experience of mine, and it was only possible through adequate funding and resource and engagement. And we need to start interviews so that we can grow future leaders. And I think the best way forward from that is adequate and stable entry to D-based allocation. Thank you for your time, and I'd like to wish a belated birthday.
Mr. Muldoon, I think you got the message. Thank you very much. I want to make an announcement that we will go after 3:30. We have Senator Merrick. We'll go ahead and take over the chairman of the public testimony. And next we have up is Carl Jacobs. Mr. Jacobs, are you on, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear.
Perfect. Well, good afternoon, members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Carl Jacobs, and I am honored to serve as the Vice President of the Anchorage School District School Board. Thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony today on my own behalf in strong support of SB 52. First and foremost, I wish to acknowledge the time, effort, dedication, and advocacy of the Senate Education Committee for generating a bill which will fundamentally and positively impact the trajectory of public education in our great state for decades to come. I'm also grateful for the Senate Finance Committee giving the bill quick and decisive action, driven by the testimony you've heard today and thus far during the legislative session. I'm testifying today with a sincere sense of urgency. The Anchorage School District, which has provided countless opportunities to the dozens of youth my wife and I have served as therapeutic foster parents, is currently burdened with $80 million in less spending power than it was afforded during the 2016-2017 school year. As a staunch ally of our dedicated teachers and paraprofessionals, this is especially troubling. More than three quarters of the ASD budget is already judiciously allocated to our classroom expenses via direct facilitations and support of our student instruction. 85% of ASD's entire operating budget is utilized to pay salaries and benefits to education professionals working tirelessly to improve student outcomes related to reading proficiency, math proficiency, and college career and life readiness. And yet a deficient public employee retirement system and years of static funding via a base student allocation effectively frozen in time has left school districts across Alaska offering wages which are not competitive and benefits which will not ensure we grow, attract, and retain the next generation of educators. ASD has over 400 vacant positions alone this year, and vacancy rates across our state are spiking. We can do better, and we must do better. A vote to increase the BSA is a vote in support of our teachers, our students, and the future of our state. Members of the committee, please know I deeply respect and understand your dueling priorities associated with your role as legislators. The lack of a long-term fiscal plan, a deficit in the House proposed operating budget, and the volatility of oil prices all make further investment in public education challenging. With all that said, I submit to you that for the sake of our students, for the betterment of our economy, and a future which sees a definitive end to years of out-migration, we cannot afford to delay passage of SB 52 any longer. Please pass the bill from committee at the earliest opportunity. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jacobs. We appreciate you taking the time to call in. Next from Anchorage is Lene Benjamin, followed by Amber O'Brien. Lene, if you're available, please state your name for the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Lene Benjamin. I am representing myself. I'm a single mother of five children who are in the ASD school district. I came here 5 years ago from Atlanta, Georgia. Although I am Alaskan born, this is my home and this is where I trusted the community to educate my children. Upon first arriving, there was plenty of support regarding my children and the lack of academia that was available in Georgia.
but I have seen a decline over the years since we've been here. I speculate that that decline or that boost that we originally came into was because of the BSA increase that occurred a few years ago. I currently take my children outside of our school district or outside of our designated schools area to charter schools and so on and so forth because of the lack of support of teacher staffing and tutoring available to me. With that comes the need for transportation and a plethora of other things. I would prefer for my children to be able to stay within our designated school area. However, it's just not possible with the curriculum and the poor performance of my local school. Currently, we're dealing with disabled students not being able to be supported all the way up through high school. One of my children is one of those who are being affected by this. I would like to see more support with that. So with all that being said, I am definitely in support of SB 52. In addition to that, I have also had children who are not on any disability spectrum who have attended Chugach Optional, where we did not have cafeteria management and our children were eating cold lunches, including jerky for lunch, because we didn't have that support staff. This is continuing to be an issue, and we have no after-school programs, no before-school programs. We have nothing to really hone in and guide these children. So I hope that you guys are able to pass on SB 52. Is there any questions? I'm more than willing to answer.
Thank you very much, Ms. Benjamin. We appreciate you testifying today. Next in Wasilla is Amber O'Brien, followed by Dr. Susan Hunter-Jornes. Ms. O'Brien, if you're available, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
My name is Amber O'Brien, and I'm calling on behalf of myself and my three children who all attend public school in Wasilla, two in Wasilla High School, and one at Midnight Sun Charter School. And I am in support of SB 52. I simply don't understand what is the issue in investing in our students. Everyone says they care about the kids. Everyone says they want what's best for the kids, but no one seems to want to invest in their schooling so they can have the best start in life possible. Everyone has a teacher they remember, a teacher who changed their life by either simply listening to them or making a lesson so memorable that they recall it throughout their entire life. Every student deserves a scholastic experience that sets them on the road towards success. I urge this committee to think of the needs of the children and raise the base student allocation. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ms. O'Brien. We appreciate you calling in today. Next in Juneau is Dr. Susan Hunter-Jornes, followed by Herman Morgan. Doctor, please state your name for the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
I'm Dr. Susan Hunter-Jornes, and I've lived in Juneau for 30 years. I've been a neurologist, the only neurologist in Juneau for 28 years, and I volunteered on the fetal alcohol syndrome clinic for 10 years. I'm asking the Senate Finance Committee to pass Bill 52 and increase the BSA. The BSA has not been increased since 2017, and I think it's critical for a stable and predictable BSA with inflation proofing to enable the schools to be able to plan and budget for the different programs. Alaska's school funding is barely in the middle of the states in the funding of all of the issues in the school. The other states also have a defined benefit program, and most have a full Social Security benefits, but Alaska has neither. Right now, there is no future for the best and brightest to come to Alaska. Or stay in Alaska. I'm asking the committee to please increase the BSA and pass Senate Bill 52. And I invite them, all of the Senate Finance Committee members, to think about how school has affected their life and to pay it forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doctor. We appreciate you taking the time to call in. Next in ANIAC is Herman Morgan, followed by Denmer Wells. Mr. Morgan, welcome to Senate Finance. Please state your name for the record to begin your two-minute testimony.
Yeah, good afternoon, Chairman Merrick. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm watching in Galveston, Alaska. It's so sad to see all the other members walk off and they don't want to hear from the real public. So this is a farce again. It's a bunch of people who who have parents again. Out here in rural Alaska, we're getting a lot of foreign teachers. I think there's 400 applicants, and there's 20 of them in the district. And, not against foreigners, you know, but I think our jobs should go to local people, local Alaskans. You guys are Alaskans on the table. You're Americans. You know, we're not, a lot of them, they can't understand what they're saying. And you guys need to, these teachers are saying, look how expensive it is to live out here. It's no use giving them all this money with lowest results in the nation, lowest SAT scores. They're trying to do it, SAT scores. I'm a native, and I scored 100% on the SAT. Nowadays, when they try to go to college, UAA, they find that they're 2 years behind. That means they're not being educated. Do not increase the base allocation and stop hiring all these foreign teachers and think of Alaskans. Bring up to grade level first. And you guys need to give the full-time fund back to the people all the way to 2016. Permanent fund can afford it. Those kids, they can do better when they have a family that can afford to pay their bills. And if you guys don't give the money back right now, foreign countries are getting off the American monetary standard for buying oil. That's gonna be, it's gonna mean inflation is gonna really come up. Give the people the money back right now. And that way they could buy subsistence gear. And it'll help the people in Anchorage urban areas too. But you gotta stop listening to NEAA. They had $2 billion in grants for the 10 districts. And yet our districts out here are falling apart. They're sending people to UAA with any kind of grades. They're not teaching the same classes we used to. We're under what they call indirect warfare, and they're using our agencies. And
Mr. Morgan, you're past your two-minute time limit. Thank you so much for calling in today. I will note to folks listening at home that the Senate majority has a meeting that was scheduled at 3:30. However, we are still taking the remaining few testifiers that called in several hours ago. Next up in Anchorage is Denmer Wells, followed by Nils Andreasen. Denmer, if you're available, please state your name for the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Hello, my name is Denmer Wells. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Excellent. I'm calling in support of Senate Bill 52. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, went to public schools here myself growing up, and have three children of my own, currently attending public schools here in Anchorage. The Alaska Constitution tasks the legislature to establish and maintain a system of public schools. State statute specifically restricts local contributions to public education. That combination means that in quite a literal sense, the state budget and its base student allocation dictate the budgets of school districts throughout the state. Every time a community is upset and complaining to their school board about closing a school, they should be addressing the legislature. When people complain to their school board about reducing activities, they should be addressing the legislature. When people complain to their school board about cutting educational electives, they should be addressing the legislature. When people complain to their school board about increasing class sizes, it should be addressing the legislature. Our local school boards are tasked with making their annual budgets late in the winter for the following school year. School Board of Anchorage had to pass a draft budget last month, but they won't know what their funding will really look like until the legislature passes its budget and the governor signs or vetoes their funding. School districts have not budgeted based on what they need. They have budgeted based on what they feel they can expect. They've budgeted with cuts to programs and facilities and increases to class sizes. They've expended the administrative effort of creating budgets, guessing at a variety of funding schemes from the state, and will expend that administrative budgeting effort when they know the state's final BSA number. I would encourage you to be mindful of the logistics of budget cycles. I would encourage you to not only address the flat funding of the BSA with this legislation, but also to set the BSA on an inflation-adjusted path into the future so our school boards can budget with some predictability. Flat funding education has been, as has been the case for nearly a decade now, is not fulfilling the state's constitutional obligation to maintain a system of public education. Maintenance requires ongoing investment. Maintenance requires keeping up with inflation. Investing in education is an investment in the future of our economy, and we should make that investment. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wells. We appreciate you sharing your thoughts. Next in Juneau is Nils Andreasen, followed by Andy DeGraw. Mr. Andreasen, welcome to Senate Finance. Please state your name for the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you. For the record, Neil Sandreason, I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Municipal League. Chair Merrick, we can also follow up and send the full committee our testimony. But AML stands in support of the state's obligation to maintaining a system of obligation of public education. We think that SB 52 expresses this, and AML members passed a resolution at our annual meeting last December supporting both the BSA increase and inflation proofing thereof. And inflation proofing is commonly done by all forms of government. The state does it through OMB's 10-year plan. Legislative finance does it for the legislature. And that's how we determine what future budgets need. To ask school districts what they need right now at the end of their budgeting process when there's so much uncertainty it makes it more challenging for districts to give a valid answer. And I think we're really thinking about the long-term sustainability and stability necessary for school districts is important. AML members know this because we go through the same budgeting process each year at the same time the legislature does. And we're all interdependent in knowing exactly what the available revenue is from the state to be able to manage our budgets accordingly. This is not a today issue. It's an issue that has built up over time. It is not in response to COVID or federal funding or even budget shortfalls. This really is regarding the long-term stability of our school districts, of our communities, and local governments who are picking up and filling in the gaps to the extent that they can when the state isn't. I would also speak to in terms of the federal funding, we know that as we're supporting 400 local and tribal governments who are complying with their federal obligations after receiving federal relief, there is work to do in ensuring that compliance occurs successfully. And I appreciate the hard work that school districts have gone to make sure that they have managed those funds responsibly. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Andreessen. We appreciate you calling in today. Looks like Andy DeGraw is no longer available, so our last testifier is Alicia Hughes-Scandis. Welcome to Senate Finance. Please state your name for the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you for continuing to take our testimony even past the time. My name is Alicia Hughes-Scandis, and I'm a resident of Juneau. I'm calling to urge you to support this bill and to increase the BSA. I have the privilege to serve on the Juneau City and Borough Assembly. We're also in the process of working on our budget. Juneau has a history of making maximum local contribution to our school district, and supporting our schools and supporting education as a community value. In addition to this, over the years, we've contributed a significant amount to other items financially outside that contribution and taking over what we can in order to aid the district's financial health. Education funding is a topic that has required more and more of our attention and our funding at the city in recent years. With the BSA that is frozen in time, we're handcuffing our districts against inflation, and the longer the amount of time that the state doesn't act, local governments are being left to pick up the tab. Currently, we can afford to do this, but for how long? Not everyone in the state can, and while how Juneau is funded is a concern to me as an assembly member, as an Alaskan, it's a concern to me from an equity perspective that the ability to fund education by local governments really runs the gamut. Funding education is a responsibility of the state, and short-sightedness in funding it now will have consequences for us later. Finally, on that note, I'll speak to workforce. I'm lucky to have several friends in Juneau who are passionate about their jobs as teachers. And over the past few years, I've seen some leave the state and others who are considering leaving the profession based on an uncertain environment where funding is a consistent source of stress to them. I thank you for your time, and I ask you to increase the BSA.
Thank you very much, Alicia. We appreciate you taking the time to call in. Is there anyone else online or in the room wishing to testify on Senate Bill 52? Seeing none, I'm closing public testimony. And I will note that if you would like to submit written testimony to the committee, you can send that to Senate finance.committee@akleg.gov. We will make sure that's included in the record. This concludes our afternoon agenda. Our next meeting will be tomorrow morning, Wednesday, April 19th at 9 a.m. Senator Stedman will be chairing, and on the agenda we have a rollout of the first Senate committee substitute for the operating and mental health budgets. With nothing else to come before the committee today, we are adjourned at 3:45 p.m. Thank you.